Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 18, Face Unbroken. I am happy to report that I now realize there are wonderful things in this world you just can't explain, but that doesn't necessarily make them any less true. It just means you have to choose to believe in them, and sometimes it takes a friend to show you the way. Face. What's it like to lose face? Face is a fleeting concept in the wasteland. Sometimes things get so bad that face alone cannot sustain a pony through dark times. A wise pony once told me that sometimes face means believing in the impossible, but how am I supposed to do that? How am I supposed to believe in something I know to be false? Face built on lies is no way to live one's life. I had thought myself past this. Lack of face. But seeing the statue of Lucky brought back so many feelings of failure and heartache that it was simply unbearable. I had failed the Green Mare, a failure that had resulted in her death and eventual continued existence as a creature of pure metaphysical impossibility. To be honest, I felt like my life was one massive failure. I was a drag, an outcast, unwanted by even the element of magic herself. I thought on the life that Twilight led and the choices she made that brought her to this end. Her own face was misplaced. She had put all of her face into Princess Luna's war, and it resulted in a chain of events that sent shockwaves echoing across the entire history of the Equestrian Wasteland. I broke down, sobbing on the floor in front of the smooth creature as I stared at the statue of Lucky. The Green Mare had a brilliant smile on her face and her mane was more vibrant than I had ever seen it. Too purple. My eyes drifted to the base of the figurine.
Her face?
I thought.
Is that some sort of joke?
I let my thoughts go back to my time with Twilight's emotions. How was I supposed to have face when I had failed so much? I looked up at the roiling purple lump currently watching me with a concerned expression on its rough-hewn face.
Where did you get this?
I said finally. The thing's mouth turned into a semblance of a smile.
I made it for you. She told me to. She told me that you wouldn't know what it meant,
it said.
Now we escape, yes?
I blinked for a moment. Was Lucky here? If so, where did she go?
But was she here? If she was here, why didn't she wait for me?
I said frantically.
Why didn't she wait?
The smooth being looked at me expectantly.
Why?
The thing's smile disappeared, literally sinking into its face, leaving flat purple behind.
I'm sorry,
it said, looking away from me sadly. I sighed as I realized that I had yelled at the creature. It was almost childlike in nature, and it clearly hadn't understood my outburst. I put my hoof out, touching the thing on the shoulder. At least what I thought was its shoulder.
Hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to yell at you,
I said. The creature smiled and nodded.
It's just, things have been so frustrating for me lately.
It's okay,
it replied, patting my hoof with a goopy tendril. I looked down at the statue of Lucky again. I tucked it carefully into my saddlebags next to the statues of the Ministry Mares. To me, it was just as important as they were. It represented my promise to save Lucky, to find her once more, and to help her return to her flesh-and-blood pony body. I looked back up to the smooth.
Okay, then, if you want to get out of this place, you're going to have to show me where my friends are,
I said, smiling. The creature nodded animatedly and pointed at a door in the far corner of the room, past another row of clay statues. I trotted behind him to the locked door.
I can get out underneath, but I don't think that will work for you,
it said. I looked at the steel door, nothing that the lock was electronic and not a traditional lock.
I brought up my EFS, hoping to get something on it that showed me where my friends were, but there was nothing. Apparently, whatever was interfering with my pip bug was still in force.
Fine then, time for a little old-fashioned lockpicking,
I thought, latching onto the door with my magic. The steel surface began to glow with the telltale purple of my telekinesis as it started buckling under the force I was exerting upon it. Finally, the steel relented and crumbled outwards, falling to the floor in the room beyond. I looked over at the smooth.
Not a problem, I said, the glow of my horn dimming.
I stepped into the next room, which was another long hall filled with clay ponies. In fact, it was the room we had first seen the smooth substance in. In the center of it were my friends. I grinned as I looked up, seeing me. A green blur shot past the others as Violet leapt into my hoofs. She was bubbling like a little filly.
Star!
She shouted.
You're all right!
She latched onto my neck in a tight embrace. I smiled softly.
Yes, my dear, I'm just fine, I said, looking up at the others. I know you all have already met him, but our new friend here is willing to help us escape this crazy place. We just have to disable the security system to get out.
Yes, yes, we escape and then I'll be free,
the smooth said happily. Patch chuckled as she bounced around the ooze-like creature.
I know we could believe you, she said. I just knew you wouldn't have done anything to Star.
He told us flat out that he didn't do anything to her, Greenie, Lust cut in, grinning. Pet shot a glare back at the black mare, blowing a wet raspberry in her general direction. I couldn't help but smile. They weren't fast friends by any stretch of the term, but they were at least getting along somewhat.
Yes, well, he has been stuck here a long time, and we're going to help him get out, I said. First things first, we need to find the central computer core that is driving the security system.
Without my pip bug working normally, I couldn't begin to figure out where in this crazy place that was.
So, does any pony have any ideas?
I looked back at Danish and Nixus. The unicorn and the hellhound had been poring over some sort of crudely drawn map. Nixus let his eyes meet mine as he grinned widely.
Star, I believe I may have some sort of idea about this place. Danish and I have mapped out our progress so far, and we believe the key to true progression is to stop going forward.
The hellhound said with a broad, toothy grin. I blinked, completely confused.
If we can find a maintenance-level access, we should be able to bypass the security spell that is blocking our travel.
I looked back at the smooth.
Are there any maintenance stairwells around here that we can use?
I asked. The creature's face contorted for a moment as it thought on my question. It grinned widely.
There is. It is the back of the next room over. It's locked, though,
the smooth replied.
I've never been able to get through it.
Well, I think we should give it a shot, then. I'm pretty good with locks, I said.
Violet rolled her eyes.
You mean you're good at breaking locks?
She teased, poking me in the side as we followed the smooth into the next room. It was another room filled with rows upon rows of clay statues. At the far end, however, was a terminal and a metal door. Violet sat down at the terminal and plugged in her pip bug. The terminal lit up and asked for a password. Tapping around a bit, my love motioned with her hoof to me. I stepped over as she pointed out something on the screen. It looks like the section of the museum we're in now is actually far below the ground level. The rooms must not be affected by whatever spell is enforcing the security above at all, she said. The central core is located even farther down. Shit, this place is huge. It's like they built it downward instead of outward. Does it say how to get there? I asked. Violet shook her head. No, but I think I can at least open this door, she replied, pressing another button on the terminal's keyboard. The door in front of us slid open silently, revealing a gaping darkness beyond. I stepped inside the doorway, looking out into the dark stairwell. The stairs were massive metal monstrosities extending up and down with no end in sight. The stairs were situated next to some sort of ancient elevator shaft.
I looked over at the smooth.
I think perhaps you better stay here, I said, smiling. We will return for you once we have disabled the security system.
The creature looked sad.
You won't leave me?
It asked. I shook my head.
No, we won't leave you. You have to trust me. That's what friends do. They trust each other.
I replied.
We'll be back before you know it, and we'll get you out of here.
The creature nodded and began to slump its goopy way back to the statues. Violet stepped up next to me.
You sure it'll be okay? It didn't seem that pleased that we're leaving it behind. She said quietly. It'll be fine. We're going to come back for it, but it's so, I guess, childlike. I don't think it would be able to handle itself in a fight, and you know it's going to come to that one way or another, I said.
Violet nodded and turned towards the open door. We moved out onto the landing and began to descend the stairwell. Every so often we would hear some sort of screeching noises coming from above us. I looked up, seeing nothing but metal. I took a moment to glance at my friends. Lust was fidgeting. I could tell she was uncomfortable being in such an enclosed space. I shot her a smile, letting her know everything was all right before turning back to my pip buck. Another screech erupted in the air above us.
What is that?
Steeljack said, looking up as the screeching began to get louder. I brought up my EFS, the security enchantments inside the museum still messing with the detection spell. I shut it down again, scowling. Even if it was working, I didn't think it would matter. We were going to find out what the noise was soon enough. The screeching continued until it was reverberating off of the walls around us. Then I saw it. A large, leathery creature with deep red eyes was zipping down the shaft next to us. Far above it, thousands of red orbs followed behind it.
Fuck, Bloodwings!
I shouted, levitating out Stargazer and taking aim. I tried to trigger ESATS, feeling time freeze as I silently cheered the fact that the targeting system at least hadn't been overridden by the museum's crazy-ass security system. I lined up a shot on the head creature and let loose. Stargazer aimed and tore the thing's head clean off.
Every pony keep going! Don't let them catch up with us!
I vaulted out into the open shaft, flapping my wings and pulling my gun to bear on the swarm. Gunfire erupted from my faithful minigun, spitting hot lead into the swarm of mutated bat-sinks. Despite my best efforts, however, the Bloodwings continued to search force. My only hope was that I was enough distraction to keep my friends safe.
Come and get me, you fucking pieces of shit!
I shouted as I locked my wings, dropping down the center shaft like a rock. The Bloodwings took the bait, completely ignoring the shouts of my friends as the swarm poured down the shaft after me. Silver fire filled the air above as Thunder Flash melted several of the swarm's number into silvery goops that fell past me with a sizzle. I took a moment and looked down. The shaft stretched out below me with no end in sight. I brought up Stargazer and fired off several more rounds at the oncoming beasts. Bullets struck flesh, knocking several of the mutant bats into the sides of the shaft.
How fucking deep is this place?
I thought as I fell, firing round after round. I heard gunfire from above as my friends continued down the shaft. I feared at some point the swarm would no longer consider me the prime target number one and start heading towards Violet and the others. I had to come up with something. I considered casting a shield spell, but I was sure I wouldn't be able to hold back the swarm for very long. I needed to come up with something drastic.
Violet!
I shouted loud enough so that she could hear me.
I'm going to need you to trust me.
What?
She shouted back.
What do you mean trust you?
I charged my horn into a massive teleportation spell. I released the magic and felt my friends appear in the air next to me. As expected, shrieks and shouts came from the non-flying members of our group.
Star, I'm going to kill you. I told you to never do this again. Too late.
I shouted, grinning widely as I reached out with my magic and brought my friends into a telekinetic embrace. Lust cackled manically as she began swooping around in my telekinetic field, dropping behind and slicing the occasional Bloodwing in half as we fell.
The screeching of the bloodwings echoed behind us, just barely covering the shouts and screams of my floating friends. Eventually, a landing could be seen at the bottom of the shaft, a metal floor approaching at high speed. With a grunt of effort, I pushed a shield spell out. The walls of the shield bubble ground against the stairs and the walls of the shaft with an unholy screech, drowning out even the infuriated cries of the Bloodwing swarm. I could feel each crumbling staircase and shredded bolt in my horn, but we slowed enough to land safely. Without time to think, I flung the nearest door open.
"Every pony up and out of here!"
I shouted. The others followed into the room adjacent to the shaft and I slammed the door. Several moments later, large thud sounds came from the other side as the Bloodwings tried to slam into the steel door. I breathed a sigh of relief and turned back to my friends. Patch had a completely goofy look on her face as she was being helped up by Steeljack. Nixie's Lust and Danish were panting hard. Violet was glaring at me with laser-dazz eyes.
"Well, I don't think we're going back up that way," I said casually before turning to my angry little green mare. "Violet, everything all right?"
I knew she was angry, so I grinned for good measure.
"Star, we talked about this,"
she fumed.
"No more throwing me out of high places and nearly dropping me."
She turned away from me and began to trot into the hallway. My eyes went wide as I grabbed her with my magic and yanked her back before she could step any further.
"Hey, what are you doing?"
I put a hoof up to her mouth and pointed into the room. It was a long hallway with the same typical steel walls as the majority of the underground tunnels seemed to be made of. The floor of the room beyond the initial landing, however, could hardly be called a floor. In fact, it was made of clouds. I smiled sheepishly at Violet and sighed.
"Sorry, love, but unicorns can't exactly walk on clouds,"
I said, another of Twilight's memories floating up into my forethoughts.
"Not without a little assistance, at least."
I reached back into that memory, thinking about a spell that Twilight had used quite often in her dealings with her friends as well as any joint operations with the Ministry of Awesome. I set my horn to work and cast the spell, bathing Violet in a soft white light that disappeared almost instantly. Grinning widely, I nudged my love with a nuzzle to her neck.
"Go on," I said.
She cautiously put a hoof out, setting it on the cushy cloud covering. She stepped forward onto the cloud with more confidence, bouncing around it and giggling like a little filly.
"I didn't know you knew how to cast a cloud-walking spell,"
she said, her eyes lighting up with awe. I shrugged.
"I didn't either," I said. "I think it's one of those old Twilight memories kicking in."
I turned to my other friends and reenacted the cloud-walking spell on each of them except for Lust. Within moments we were in the hallway, trotting along the clouds. A sign at the end of the hallway caught my eye. Ministry of Awesome Research and Development Center.
"Huh?"
Lust said.
"You mean the Ministry of Awesome actually did research?" "Well, apparently Dash's ministry was involved in a lot of things, but I agree. Research just doesn't seem like her,"
I replied, pushing open the door that led into the center. The inside of the room appeared to be some sort of command center. Large cloud terminals lined the walls, all surrounding a massive metal door in the center of the room. This certainly didn't look anything like the security system of the museum. I stepped forward, looking at the various terminals. They were all disabled, and some of them had been partially destroyed.
"What do you think happened here?"
Patch said aloud.
"I'm not sure," I said. "But I bet it has something to do with whatever is behind that door."
I stepped up to the cloud terminal closest to my goal. It was still active and waiting on some user action. I tapped on the keyboard, but the terminal still refused any sort of access. I groaned, unsure of what it was waiting for. Considering my track record with these kinds of terminals, I decided to try and hit it with my magic. As I expected, there was an immediate response, but not of the kind I had hoped for. A shimmering light appeared in front of the door as the visage of a familiar cyan Pegasus came into view. The mare had strands of gray among her rainbow mane, along with heavy bags under her eyes.
"Twilight? It's me, Dash. I guess if you're watching this, that I'm not around to open the store for you, am I?" At the very least, I hope we took those trap bastards down good. Anyways, you're not here to listen to me ramble on about that. You're here for what's inside this room. I still remember when you had us build this place. You said it was the best hiding spot for the artifacts we repossessed from Daring Do. I'm still not sure that was a good thing for us to do, but you said it would help us win the war, and you know me. I trust you. By the way, the elevator in this room will take you up to the central computer core for this entire complex. It was designed to be the most secure in all of Equestria. Only you and I are allowed to have physical access to it. Anyways, I hope you know what you're doing here. If you need me, let me know. I sure as hay won't leave you hanging.
The cyan mare dissipated as I stared blankly at where she had been. Was this another clue left by Twilight and her friends? I strained my thoughts, considering the memory orb of one Daring Do. Twilight and Rainbow Dash had taken a series of magical artifacts from the Pegasus archaeologist against her will, no less. I glanced around at my friends. None of them had apparently witnessed the illusion.
That's odd, I thought.
I let my mind drift back to when I had seen both Rarity and Applejack's holograms. I couldn't quite place whether my friends had seen them either.
Is it just me? And if it is, why? Is it because of Twilight's memories?
The metal door hissed open, shaking me out of my stupor as it began to open. A pale blue glow came from within as we cautiously entered the room. The room was circular in shape, with long shelves curving around the side of the cylindrical walls. Sitting on the shelves were statuettes and totems of various shapes and sizes. The artifacts were glowing brightly. Terminals were placed every few feet, some dark, some showing fluctuating readings from the nearby artifacts. Magical shielding was in place in front of the shelves. Thankfully, the floor was real flooring. Perhaps the cloud cover in the hallway and main center was just to deter any pony who wasn't a unicorn or a pegasus.
What did they have to hide here that was so important?
I thought. In the center of the room was a large pedestal. Sitting on top of it was a large chunk of bluish metal surrounded by a clear shielding. My eyes widened as I realized what it was.
Is that...
Violet said softly. I nodded.
Star metal, I replied. This entire room is filled with the stuff.
I checked my pip bug for any signs of radiation in the room. Nothing. Even though star metal was highly poisonous, it apparently was not spreading any of its special radiation throughout the room. I supposed that the shielding surrounding the shelves had something to do with it. I stepped up to a nearby terminal, looking at its readouts. Sure enough, the shielding that was in place was containing any radiation coming from the artifact in question. Granted, most of the artifacts on the shelves had very low levels of the stuff in them. What caught my eye was the nature of the statuettes themselves. Various races of pony and non-pony made up by the majority of each one of the statues. They looked very similar to the type of statue we had found in the town of Far Hills.
Star?
Patch said as she looked about the room.
These things look familiar.
What do you mean? Danish said. Before we came to Ticker Cold, we had to stop a raider named Greed. He had a statue that he stole from a museum just like these,
Steeljack said. Danish cocked his head at the Earth Pony.
Wait, Greed?
You guys knew Greed?
He said.
Yeah, killed the fucker,
Violet said casually. Danish chuckled.
So, that was you guys? Holy Celestia's plot hole, I never put those two and two together.
The cream-colored unicorn said.
How did you know Greed?
I asked. Lust jumped in before the unicorn could reply.
Because Greed was from Chickacolt, used to run a small gang of raiders around town. He left after, she said.
I looked over at her with a curious expression.
After what?
I asked.
Lust sighed. After we became what we are today, I don't know any more than that. Pride wiped our memories of what we were before, and we don't remember that much about how we became what we are, she said. She flapped her wings out for a second. Can you recall that I haven't taken these wing blades off the entire time I've been around you? That's because they are not wing blades.
they're part of my actual wings.
What?
I said.
What do you mean?
I mean I'm not normal, the black mare said. I'm not normal and I never will be. Pride did something to make me like this. I nodded, thinking about what the Pegasus had said. I had already considered the fact that the mare was not a normal pony, much like Cranky wasn't a normal donkey. As I pondered this, I looked over another shelf of artifacts.
What were these used for?
I thought. Who would create such beauty and infuse it with such deadly materials such as star metal? I ran a hoof over one of the shields. It was cool to the touch.
I'm so confused, I said aloud. Why would Twilight want these things to study? What good were they? They're just little statues.
There had to be some form of audio log here or something. Something, anything that explained what types of research had been performed here. I moved over to the terminal next to the large chunk in the center. Tapping at it, I found out that the radiation being outputted from the pure star metal rock was intense, but that the shielding was keeping it under control. Password prompt appeared when I tried to access the administrative functions. I connected my pipback to it and lines of text began to scroll on the screen. After a few minutes of searching, I found that the password was loyalty. A window appeared on the screen showing several options to unlock the magical shielding around the room.
Staying away from those,
I thought as I turned to the options for audio logs. There was only one. With nothing else providing any sort of information, I pressed the button to play it. A familiar voice tickled my ears as the audio filtered into the room. It sounded bright and eager.
Hello, is this thing on? It is? Okay, good. Ministry Mayor Twilight Sparkle reporting from the Ministry of Awesome Research and Development Center.
A second, scratchier voice joined Twilight in the background of the recording.
And this is Ministry Mayor Rainbow Dash overseeing all research performed here.
Thanks, Dash. I really appreciate it. All these artifacts in one place. It's so amazing. There's so much that we can learn from these things.
I don't get it, Twi. What is so important about these little statues?
I grinned widely, pondering the same thought as Twilight began to speak again.
Dash, these artifacts are more than just statues. They're focal points for magic. Daring Du really didn't know what she had when she unearthed these things. The princess said that they were extremely important.
But for what, Twilight? Why was it so important that she had us build this underground center just to study these things?
Well, Rainbow, like I said before, these artifacts are focal points for magic. If we can learn more about them, we might be able to use them to develop magical defenses to protect Equestria with.
Or weapons.
That too. Thank you very much for pointing that out, Rainbow. There is one such application.
Awesome! Well, Twilight, I've got to run. Important things to do, you know. I'll leave you to your research.
Thank you again, Rainbow. I'll see you later. We're still getting together with the others later on for that play, right?
You know it.
A door in the background of the message opened and then closed. A sigh echoed across the room as we sat there and listened. Twilight began to speak once more, however her tone was much darker than before. Gone was the brightness from her voice.
Excellent, she's gone. All right, since this audio lock is key to me and only me, I have a confession to make. I lied to Rainbow. These artifacts aren't focal points for magic. They are magic. Condensed star metal forged into statues of pure, unalterated magic. They're a lot more powerful than any pony could ever dream of. And they're going to help me. With them, I'm going to develop a way to bring my brother, Shining Armor, back from the abyss. I don't know what's going to happen from here, but I do know this. That book that Rarity has will be mine. Once I can use it in conjunction with these artifacts, I'll know all the secrets it has to offer. Then, and only then, will I find a way to bring you back. End report.
I blinked as the message faded into nothingness. I looked around the room again, suddenly feeling very frightened of the items surrounding us. I felt a sudden heavy weight on my back and a tickling on my neck as I pulled open my saddlebag. The book, it was still there. In the commotion of escaping Coulterfield and this insane museum, I had completely forgotten that I had it. I levitated out the hateful thing, setting it before me on the desk in front of the terminal.
I felt a hoof on my shoulder. I looked up, seeing Violet standing there.
Star, what are you doing?
She asked softly, her eyes falling upon the books that had been bound in zebra flesh.
Star, why do you have that thing out?
I don't know. I didn't even realize I still had this thing,
I said, looking at the book with utter disgust in my eyes. At the same time, I wondered still if I could use it to bring Lucky back to life.
Now, stop thinking about that. You don't even know where Lucky is, I thought.
Still, the thought festered in the back of my mind. A whisper on the wind told me that I could do it. I could save her and no pony would have to get hurt in the process of doing so. I shook my head fiercely as I pushed away the book.
Violet, I don't know what to do, I said quietly.
I think we should get rid of it, she said. Just leave it here where no pony will ever find it.
My eyes widened.
No, we can't do that, I thought. If we leave it, then I can't save her. I can't do it without it.
But,
I started to say before she cut me off.
Star, look, I know what you're thinking. This thing might promise to have the answers you're looking for, but it doesn't. Don't forget it's this thing that let Spark take over your body in the first place, she said.
Leave it. We have more important things to worry about. I sighed and looked back down at the book. In a fit of anger, I grabbed it with my magic and tossed it to the ground before looking back at Violet.
You're right,
I said after a moment of silence between us.
I'm sorry, you're right. I shouldn't be fussing over this horrible thing. Spark is what's important. Finding her is the key to all of this. I can just feel it.
Violet smiled and nuzzled my neck.
That's my girl, she said softly, so that only I could hear it.
I grinned.
Thanks, Violet. I don't know what I would do without you,
I said in response. A coughing noise broke us from our embrace. I looked up to see Danish standing there.
This is all sweet and all, but I have good news and bad news, the cream-colored unicorn said.
What's the good news?
I asked. Danish sighed.
Good news is, I think we found the elevator that goes up to the central core, he said.
I jumped for joy inside. Finally, we could get out of this place.
And the bat?
I said hesitantly.
Bad news, the damn door is locked up tighter than Lust's plot hole, the unicorn replied.
I heard Lust snort indignantly.
I heard that, she said under her breath. And tight or not, you don't need to ever worry about my plot hole, pastry boy.
Danish merely chuckled. He motioned for me to follow him to the back of the room. There, flush amongst the wall, was the outline of a door. As I got closer, I began to see symbols forming on the metal. Stylized cutie marks belonging to Twilight Sparkle and Rainbow Dash appeared on the door. I looked over at Danish for a second, wondering if he could see them too. After a few moments of careful observation, I realized that he couldn't.
Why am I the only one who can see them? I thought.
I pressed my hoof against the cold metal, tracing the glowing marks. I lit my horn and traced them again with a brush of magic, feeling a response from the door as it began to shift and dissipated into nothing, revealing a large elevator behind it.
How did... Danish started to say.
For once, he had no witty joke to explain how I was able to open the door. I smiled.
Magic ain't gotta explain shit, I said, grinning wider as the stallion snorted.
Magic's magic. He grumbled. Can we just get on the elevator and get the hay out of this crazy place?
I rolled my eyes as we filled into the elevator. Surprisingly enough, we all fit. For an elevator only designed to take both ministry mares directly into the computer core, it was quite large. I briefly wondered how much space each mare must have decided she would have needed. I looked around the room and sighed.
Where are the buttons? I asked aloud.
I was met with confused stares. There was no control panel at all inside the elevator. I groaned as I realized that Twilight would not have made it very easy on any pony who gained access to this elevator. Again, wondering if magic was the key to all of this, I reached out and swatted the side of the tube with a thrust of my telekinesis. The effect was immediate as the entire thing shuddered to life. A cold, mechanical voice sounded from above us.
State destination, the voice said.
Computer core?
Violet said. There was no response.
I said computer core, dammit.
State your destination, the voice responded. I sighed. I knew what it was waiting for.
Computer core,
I said. The room around us began to shudder and light up. The influx of brightness began to overwhelm my senses.
Wait!
I started to cry out as the spell activated. The next moment we were somewhere completely different. The room around us was massive. Terminals dotted the walls, separated by decorative arched panels. In the center of the room was a mainframe. Wires hung from the ceiling around the ancient computer. Three large monitors surrounded a console that looked like it hadn't been touched in ages. I heard a gasp from behind me.
Is that a... No, it can't be,
Patch said. I looked back at her.
What? What is it?
I said.
It looks like a Crusader mainframe, but there's something wrong with it,
the green mare said.
A Crusader mainframe?
I said, looking up at the metal computer core. It appeared to be dormant.
It was a giant supercomputer designed by StableTech, but there was only supposed to be like three of them in existence,
Patch said.
They never made any more of them. They're like really super powerful computers, designed to be like the smartest things in existence.
Well, let's see what this thing is and if we need it to shut down the security systems,
I said, stepping forward to the console in the center of the room. I tapped a button with a hoof, hoping to evoke some sort of response. Nothing. My friends meandered around me in the room, checking over the terminals around us. Patch stepped up next to me and began inspecting the console.
Anything? I don't know. It's almost like it was supposed to be a Crusader, but hasn't quite figured out how to.
Some of the cases of equipment were stylized and colored differently than others. Patchwork cables ran like wire spiders had gone amok. Patch banged her hoof on the console, but it was still unresponsive. I sighed. I was about to give up when suddenly the largest of the three monitors lit up brightly. A bright pink Earth Pony face appeared within its confines. By this time, I knew Pinkie Pie by sight alone. The mare had an insanely wide smile on her face.
Surprise!
The mare in the screen shouted.
Ah, you're not Dasher or Twilight. Well, pooey, were you surprised, huh? Were ya? I bet you were. I'm really good at surprises.
I blinked.
What?
I said aloud.
What are you doing here?
The bouncy pink mare grinned widely as she hopped up and down within the confines of the screen.
Well, you see, I wanted to play a super-duper secret prank on my friends, so I installed a special program on this here computer with the help of Everbloom. I was so hoping to see Twilight and Dashie and their faces when they realized what I had done,
the pink pony replied. The rest of my friends had stepped up beside me.
So, you're just a computer program?
Violet asked. The pink mare nodded excitedly.
Yepperoni! I was designed to override all systems in this mainframe. I'm in control now,
she chirped.
So, you're controlling the security systems?
I said.
Oh, you saw those? Weren't they just awesome? It's one of my better pranks,
the computer Pinky said.
Wait, those repeating rooms, the ghostly images, they were just a prank?
I said, blinking.
Yep, I really hoped that Twilight would have seen those. I spent so much time having my robo-ponies work on them too,
the computer Pinky replied. My patience was beginning to wear thin. We had to get out of here. I decided to chance asking the computer if she'd just drop the security protocols.
Well, Pinky, I don't think Twilight is coming, so can you maybe drop the prank? We'd like to get out of here,
I said calmly. As soon as I finished, the man in the monitor's hair instantly flattened.
She's not coming? But I spent so much time working on this prank just for her and Dashie,
she said. I started to worry. Before, the programmed pink pony had been as bouncy and excitable as the Pinkie Pie I knew from Twilight's memories. Now her mane hung straight and limp. Her movements were stiff and angry as she pounded the side of the screen with her forehoofs.
Why isn't she coming, huh? Tell me!
Alarms began to sound around us as the decorative arcs slid open. Security robots of all shapes and sizes began to pour into the room.
I've got a very bad feeling about this,
Patch said, pulling out Parabellum. The robots began to converge on us, but they had yet to engage us.
What is she waiting for?
I thought. I realized that even as unbalanced as she was, the digital mare was waiting for an answer to her question.
Hold on,
I said, and an idea formed in my mind.
Pinky, Twilight told me to come here so you could pull your pranks on me instead. So you got me.
I chuckled lightly to show her I was laughing. I motioned at my friends. They too began to laugh.
See, so you got us good. They were really good pranks. But you're not Twilight. I want to see Twilight,
Pinky replied. Her mane was still flat and her eyes spoke volumes of malice. I narrowed my eyes at the mare.
What are you, really?
I said finally. Pinky chuckled.
I'm a computer program,
she said.
Pinky designed me to be self-aware so that I could pull the ultimate pranks. I was also designed to keep track of all the bad ponies so that she could punish them.
Uh-oh, I thought.
That isn't good.
Did I just hear her say self-aware? Lust said.
I believe that is what she said, Nixis cut in. I would suggest that we take this opportunity to shut this thing down.
I nodded, lifting Stargazer with my magic.
Last chance, Pinks. Shut down the security system,
I said.
Now!
The man's monitor laughed cruelly.
No, you're bad ponies and you need to be punished,
the pink mare said. She nodded and the security robots surrounding us lifted their weapons.
Punish them!
Without thinking, I turned and fired on the closest robot, ripping it to shreds with a hailstorm of bullets. The sharp retort of Steeljack's rifle combined with the explosive power that was Parabellum filled the air, along with the red laser fire coming from the security drones. I moved amidst the robots, dodging and trying to fight my way to the central core. Nixis gave a tightly controlled bark of fury as he slid past my right side, cleaving the spinning saw blade arm of a menacing drone in passing. I shot him a grateful look as I finished the crippled unit off with a quick apple buck. More robots poured forth from the side walls, making me think that this insane computer must have had thousands of them. Pinkie Pie appeared on the other two monitors in the central core, then began flickering into existence on the remaining terminals in the chamber. Her maniacal laugh was a wicked chorus as I waded closer and closer towards the console. I wasn't sure what I was going to do when I got there. Try and reason with a virtual Pinkie? Smash it? I opted to try and reason with her as I cut down the last robot blocking my path. Stepping forward, I addressed the virtual mare.
Pinky, you have to stop this. Look, I'm sorry. Twilight's dead. They all are. You've been stuck here running the same prank for over 200 years now,
I shouted, trying to shock some sense into the sentinel program.
Liar, she's coming. I just need to punish you bad ponies and she'll show up,
the angry pink mare shouted from the screens. Chaos continued to erupt from behind me as my friends kept the robots off my back.
I'm not lying to you. You have to believe me. It's time to shut down and end the prank,
I replied.
Please, we are not bad ponies. We want to be your friend,
I kept talking, trying to convince the virtual Earth pony to shut down the security system while I connected my pip back to the console. The second I connected it, however, the pink mare glowered angrily.
Oh, I don't think so, Miss Bad Pony. You're not going to get me that easily,
she said. A jolt of electricity shot through the console. I scrabbled to disconnect the cable, but the bolt hit me square in the chest. I grunted in pain as I collapsed to the ground, fighting my twitching muscles to push myself back to my hoofs. There was going to be no reasoning, no tricking this thing. I was going to have to tear this mainframe apart, piece by piece, to shut it down for good. I lifted Stargazer and began firing wildly. Sparks flew from the massive machine as round after round struck home.
The virtual Pinky howled a synthetic chorus of digital pain. Cables and wires flailed as bullets severed from the ceiling, but the mainframe itself stayed completely intact. If this thing was designed by StableTech, it was designed to withstand a mega spell. Even the fire from Stargazer couldn't pierce the inner workings of the device. Nixis appeared next to me, leaping forward with his wicked claws as he slashed at the mainframe. Even his unnaturally sharp talons were unable to make even a dent in the computer core.
"What is this thing made out of?" I shouted.
A blast of silver fire decimated more robot drones as Violet cantered up next to me. The virtual Pinkie Pies cackled and giggled wildly.
"You can shut me down. No, sir, I'm here to stay," she said. "You're never getting out of here, you bad ponies. Pinky's watching you. Forever. We're gonna make you smile, 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 smile."
I looked about the security robots surrounding us from all angles as they forced me and my friends into a corner. I gritted my teeth, waiting for the end. Waiting for the computer program to make the call. I glared at the mare on the screen, her eyes wild with insanity. It seemed like no matter how much we fired and fired at the robots, more continued to appear. Was this part of the ultimate prank? I couldn't tell. Somewhere along the line, this computer had lost its simulated mind in the quest to administer the biggest joke that could ever have been played. Violet leaned close against me, holding Thunderflash aloft in her magic. Her eyes were cold and determined. A flash caught my eye and I noticed something creeping along the sides of the mainframe.
"Wait, is that... what?"
I thought. A mix of purplish goo was slowly covering the wires and pieces of the console. The smooth forced its way inside the mainframe using the grates and panels as access points.
"What? What's going on? What is that stuff? No, 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 no!"
the virtual Pinky shouted. The screen began to leak purple goo as the mare began to scream and shout. As violent as the computer pony was, it was nowhere near as violent as the explosion that resulted from the smooth's intrusions. With a final multi-voiced shriek, the monitors around the room snapped off as one. The last I saw of the virtual pony was her frantically beating on the inside of the central monitor. For a split second she met my gaze, tears rolling from her eyes as she pressed a hoof to the inside of the glass. I closed my eyes and the mainframe died with an anticlimactic pop and a curl of fold smoke. The effect was immediate as the robots menacing us fell over silent and still. I breathed a sigh of relief.
"Smooth?"
I called out amidst the quiet. The smooth goo began to pour out of the mainframe modules, reforming into the vague features of the mushy creature. A smile cracked on his face.
"Where computer go boom?"
he said. I blinked and then broke out into a giggle.
"How did you find us?"
Patch said.
"I thought you couldn't get out beyond your rooms."
"I think Crazy Computer Pony was too focused on you. The security system let me go,"
the smooth said.
"What was Crazy Computer Pony?"
I sighed as I looked up at the ruined remains of the mainframe.
"A bygone of the past era," I said.
I stepped up to the device, now noticing the StableTech logo on the side of it. A nameplate below the logo stated, "Crusader Mainframe Prototype 0.5B.
"Huh, so it was a Crusader, well, a prototype at least. No wonder this thing was so... crazy?"
Patch chimed in. I nodded.
"Once I heard a story about a pony could upload their entire mind into one of those things. If this was a prototype, there's no telling what could have happened to an intelligence trapped inside it. And it had control of the whole museum."
"Well, now it's toast," Danish said, poking at the smoldering remains. "And I think it's high time we blew this pop stand." Steeljack and Nixus nodded in agreement. I took one last look at the ruined computer, thinking about Pinky's final prank. In retrospect, it would have been pretty funny had it not gone completely insane and tried to kill us.
"Yeah, let's get the hell out of here."
The journey back towards the ground level of the museum was far less harrowing than the trip down had been. With the security system fully disabled, that we knew of, there were no more random rooms or turrets that medically repaired themselves. Because of this, we were able to find another set of stairs. Luckily enough, this set hadn't been used as friction brake for a group of flying ponies and wasn't home to a swarm of bloodwings. While I doubted that we'd get out of here without running into any more undead monstrosities, I was far more confident of our ability to deal with them than I had been with the virtual Pinky. As we emerged into the lobby, I started to relax. We'd get out of this wretched place, find Pride and Spark, and then what? Faith had said that I would have to make a choice when I faced Spark. What had she meant by that? What choice? I didn't know, and for some reason, I wasn't sure if I cared. Spark had to be stopped, by any means necessary. The moment I glanced up at the main doors of the museum, I knew that something was wrong. The doors that we had used as barricades were shattered, lying strewn across the front of the lobby in piles of wood and metal. I flipped on my EFS, revealing a single red blip. Right on top of us?
Fuck, move!
I shouted as I let loose a blast of telekinesis that pushed my friends away from my position. I noticed then that the smooth was missing.
Where did it go?
I thought. I turned to move, just barely missing the dark form that pounded into the ground next to me, blasting a crater in the marble flooring below. A flash of red blinded my vision as blood poured from my muzzle. A shock of pain echoed through my entire face. A growl emanated from in front of me. I brought Stargazer to bear, preparing to fire on...
Oh, fuck me!
I thought. Raph, the leader of the Cult of Iron Will, knelt in front of me. His eyes were on fire as he met my panicked eyes with a steely glare.
We meet once more, Ministry Mayor, the Minotaur rumbled. I told you before, I will end you.
Star, get down!
I heard a voice from behind me shout. A blast of silver fire shot past my head as I scampered away from the cult leader. Raph grinned and stood, batting away the blast with a simple swipe of his gauntlet.
So, this is how our final meeting is going to go, letting others fight in your battles for you. I am disappointed. We still have an Ancord, you and I,
he said. I narrowed my gaze at the Minotaur.
Every pony, stand down, I said finally. He's right, I have to finish this myself.
Star, you moron, you don't have to do this.
Lust said angrily from the right of us. The black mare had stepped up next to me, as had all my friends. Raph snarled.
Sister, you will stay out of this, he commanded.
Lust glared at the Minotaur.
And you will fuck right off. I'm sick of this shit, Raph. I'm sick of being Pride's bitch, she said. I'm done with this, and I'm done with you.
I smiled briefly. Even in the midst of this final match with Raph, it was gratifying to see the black mare deciding to stand on her own hoofs. I hoped she would get the chance to truly live out from under Pride's shadow.
Lust, it'll be all right. Every pony stay back. Raph and I will finish this,
I said, keeping my eyes trained on the cult leader.
Just you and I. If you threaten any of my friends, I swear to Luna I will rip your fucking head off.
Agreed, Raph said.
Violet too glared at the Minotaur as she stepped closely to me, nuzzling my neck quickly.
Good luck, sweetie, she said softly.
I nuzzled her back as Danish pulled her away. Nixies and Steeljack stepped back as well, along with Patch and Lust. Raph cracked his knuckles through his metal gauntlets as I cringed at the sound of it. I decided that I needed to be confident.
So, I started to say, where's your cult cronies at?
Raph sneered at me.
My brethren are waiting to lay siege to this place once I have killed you. I will carry your broken body from this wretched museum in pieces, he said.
Speaking of, how did you get in here? The impression I got from your guards was that they didn't like this place.
I said, attempting to keep the Minotaur talking as much as possible.
Yes, this museum has always had something wrong with it. Even the strength of Iron Will was not enough to penetrate its defenses. But now those defenses are gone. I can only guess its recent change lies at your hoofs,
the cult leader said. I nodded.
The security system in this place was quite unique, I replied, deciding to change the subject. I know about Philly's Tower, about Pride and Stable 180.
Oh, and what is it that you know?
Ruff said.
I know that you used to be a regular Minotaur. I know Pride did something to you, I said, hoping to end this before it could even get started.
So why do this? Why waste time and energy fighting me? Together we could stop her.
Ruff bellowed with laughter.
You make me laugh, Ministry Mayor. You are prosthetic. A waste of space. You could not even prevent your friends from being hurt in the arena. How could you expect true strength to ally itself to you? Even if I was to fight at your side, your weakness could not defeat Pride.
The Minotaur said.
I narrowed my gaze at him.
You are weak, and I shall cull you from this world, like Iron Will says that I must do.
I'm not weak,
I shouted reflexively. I looked away for a moment, not letting the Minotaur see the pain in my face. In truth, I knew he was right. I still had no idea how I was going to handle Pride. I had failed Lucky, and now I didn't even know where she was. Violet had gotten her leg cut off, all because of my failure to contain Spark. Steeljack and Patch had both been injured in the violence in the arena of Coulterfield. When was I going to pony up and become better than this?
I'm not. I will find Pride and I will stop her. I will make sure she doesn't hurt any pony else ever again.
Brave words from such a weak mare. Why don't you prove your strength then?
Ruff replied as he charged forward. A clawed gauntlet shot out towards me as I lifted Stargazer to block. The gauntlet struck hard, knocking the minigun out of my magical grasp and to the ground. A second claw came in behind it, aiming for my neck. I hopped back as his strike barely missed me. Grabbing Stargazer again, I lifted the weapon and dropped into ESATS. I took a moment and studied the powerful Minotaur before queuing up several shots to his body. Ruff was not well. His armored gauntlets were rimmed with crusted blood where they dug into his forearms. The injectors harnessed to his biceps had black snaky lines running away from them under his flesh. I wasn't a medical pony, but that didn't look at all good. In the frozen stillness of ESATS, Ruff's face looked worn and tired. His hateful grimace held pain and suffering, dark bags under his bulging eyes. Regardless, this was only going to end one way. I pulled the mental trigger in ESATS and time fell back in. Stargazer fired, round after round, pounded the cult leader, knocking him back. Blood poured from his side as he snarled loudly and snapping one of his arm injectors. The blood flow began to slow down and Ruff grinned.
So you can shoot with the help of that computer on your leg, but that will not help you win against Pride,
he said, slashing out with his right claw, catching me in the side and knocking me back. I gritted my teeth and moved to dodge as Ruff appeared in front of me. His eyes were wild with glee.
Don't be shy, punch them in the eye.
His fist shot in out of nowhere, striking me in the face. I distinctly heard something crack as I felt myself flying to the ground. I groaned as I tried to push myself up, feeling a foot hit my barrel, several ribs cracking under the pressure. Blood streamed into my vision as I felt warmth on my forehead. I was blinded by the bloody mess that was my face. Flailing about wildly, I pushed myself up and flared my horn. I threw up my shield spell just as Ruff's fist slammed into it. Wiping the blood from my face, I glared at the Minotaur. I heard several shouts behind me from my friends. I couldn't make out anything that they were saying through the haze of my pain. I dropped the shield and growled.
That's it. I've had enough of this,
I shouted as I moved towards Ruff. I lifted Stargazer, intending to use the gun as a bludgeon. Raph merely stood there, grinning widely as I struck him across the side. The blow forced the cult leader back as he spun around, slamming into my side with a well-placed kick. I was able to catch this one in the muscle of my shoulder, using its energy to spin away from Raph. I put my all into a spectacular apple buck. The kick landed hard enough to send a shock of pain up my hoofs, and Raph was blown completely off his feet. He fell backwards, hitting the ground with a resounding crack. The marble flooring shuddered underneath the cult leader's massive frame.
"And that's how we do it in the wasteland," I crowed, walking towards Violet's smiling face.
The cult leader growled as he pushed himself off the floor. I spun about as Raph launched himself at me, grabbing me in a bear hug that brought us both to the hard ground. We rolled and tumbled over each other as we ended up slamming against a nearby pillar. I ignited my horn, pushing on the Minotaur with my telekinesis. He flew backwards, hitting the wall and nearly putting a hole in the solid marble. Raph levered himself to his feet and coughed, spitting a gob of bloody plagion onto the floor. I could tell that despite his resilient nature, he was hurting. I took a chance and looked behind me at my friends. They were standing to the side, silently watching the spectacle of my fight with Raph. Violet's eyes were concerned as she let her gaze drift up to my injured face. I smiled at her, trying to let her know that I was all right.
"Much better, Ministry Mayor. Very passionate. Iron Will's strength is flowing through your veins,"
he said, holding his side with a claw.
"So I shall share with you some tidbit of information about my wayward sister."
I stopped for a moment.
"What kind of information?" I said.
"You were right, Ministry Mayor. I used to be a normal Minotaur, but then she came. Pride helped me achieve what I had always sought in my life. Power,"
he said, stepping towards me. I cautiously backed away, maintaining my distance from the cult leader.
"So, why do you hate her, then?" I asked. "She gave you what you wanted, right?"
Raph snorted.
"I value strength, and Pride's tactics are anything but wrong. She is manipulative, sneaky, and underhanded. She does not know the true value of strength. It's not that she doesn't know the way of Iron Will,"
Raph said in exasperation.
"Most people don't. She doesn't have any respect for physical prowess or straightforward challenge."
I blinked. The Minotaur was disgusted by this more than I had ever seen him when talking about me.
"She thought her wilds could control all of us, but as you've seen from my other brethren, only a scant few remained truly hers."
"Like sloths," I said.
Raph nodded.
"So she what, made you all? Are you even real?"
"We are as real as anyone else, but we are special,"
Raph said, continuing his stalking advance towards me. I kept moving backwards, unsure of what to do next other than to keep him talking. I panted hard as I did. I could still feel the blood on the side of my face, and I felt like my sides were on fire.
"And once you find Pride, you will know the full story. However, now I feel as if I must have some of your information. Why are you so interested in my sister?"
I glared at him.
"She's got something I want, something that is important, quite possibly to the safety of the entire wasteland," I said. "I'll say no more than that."
Raph laughed heartily.
"So you fancy yourself a hero, then? A bona fide wasteland heroine just like the Lightbringer?"
he said, noticing my discomfort at using the Destroyer's name.
"No? So are you just like Greed, then, purely in it for yourself?"
"No!"
I shouted, dropping to my front knees. I began to cry.
"Because it's my fault. I let her out. I should have been stronger. I should have..."
Raph stepped up, towering over me like a monolith of hatred and power.
"Please, I should have stopped her."
"And you never will, because you are weak,"
the Minotaur said gruffly.
You have failed and your mission ends here.
No, a voice rang out. I looked up, seeing Violet. She looked angry. My eyes widened.
Violet?
I said. My green mare stalked forward, putting herself between Ruff and me.
She's not weak, she's strong, and you have no right to judge her so after all she's been through,
she shouted. I smiled weakly.
Thank you, Violet,
I thought.
Oh, sending in your little mare friend to stand up for you. How precious,
Ruff mused. Violet glared daggers at him.
Sometimes she's not smart, and she definitely can't think of a plan to save her life, and sometimes I really hate how she beats herself up over shit,
she said. I blinked.
Gee, thanks for the vote of confidence there, Violet,
I thought as she continued to speak.
But she has one thing you don't, Ruff, and that's friendship, and if you want to fight her, you have to take on all of us, because we don't let our friends down. And I refuse to let you do anything to her, because if you so much as hurt her, I will put you so far down into the ground not even the Steel Rangers will be able to find you.
I felt a hoof on my shoulder as I looked back and saw Patch, Steel Jack, even Lust, Nixies and Danish. They had all come forward to help me. The feelings that welled up inside me were incredible. They were my friends, and they had shown faith in me no matter how bad things got. Ruff snorted in response.
Friendship. Having friends does not make one strong, he said. It makes you...
I stood up and put a hoof out, cutting him off.
No, having friends does not make one strong. It makes the whole stronger, I said. You don't get it, Ruff. I'm not standing by myself. My friends are with me and they are my strength. They are my rock. And with their support, I can do anything. Including kicking your sorry ass into next week.
I smiled widely, having realized what Faith was talking about. Faith in the impossible. It meant having faith in what you couldn't see. Friendship was such an impossibility in the wasteland. But yet, here it was, thriving in my heart. Without further words, I flared my horn and brought into being a brilliant blaze of light that coalesced into a solid blade of magic.
Prepare thyself for combat, foul wretch. We have unfinished business with you.
Ruff sneered as I charged past Violet, grinning widely.
I can do this,
I thought as the flat of my blade connected with the Minotaur's gauntlet. He had raised it to block, much like he had the last time I had used this move against him. This time, however, my magic was bolstered by a more powerful force. Friendship. The blade crashed into the gauntlet, but instead of dissipating, it knocked the Minotaur back towards the wall.
Have at thee!
I shouted with glee as I slashed at Ruff, cutting into his shoulder with my magical blade. Blood spurted from the wound as the Minotaur tried to slash back. I twirled around, grinning widely as he barely missed me. Flaring my wings out, I swung the glowing blade, slicing Ruff across the chest. A thin line of blood appeared there. Ruff snarled and lunged at me with his wicked claws. I pushed back, bringing up my Alicorn shield. The Minotaur struck the shield and began pounding away, trying to push through my magic with sheer strength. I expanded the shield, shoving him across the slick marble as I latched onto Stargazer with my telekinesis.
It's time to end this,
I said, dropping the shield and catching the cult leader off guard. Stargazer lifted and I dropped into ESATS. I queued up as many shots as possible, looking to disable the Minotaur. Time came back into motion and round after round erupted from the minigun. Ruff barely had any time to move away before Stargazer's star metal bullets struck. Ruff hit the ground harder under the force of the fire. Blood erupted from every wound at once. The Minotaur lay there, unmoving. I stood over the prone form of the cult leader, blinking.
I did it? I actually did it?
I thought. I lifted the magical blade, expecting Ruff to pop up at any moment.
Is he dead?
Violet said.
I turned away from Ralph's body, looking back at my friends. Something didn't feel right about this. Ralph was strong. He was powerful and fierce. My victory over him felt hollow, like it was undeserved. I started to walk back to Violet, turning around one last time to look at the cult leader's body. When I did, two pairs of red eyes were staring right into my very soul. Ralph stood there, bloody and beaten but somehow still breathing. He growled, launching a clawed gauntlet right at my face. He struck hard, and I felt something crack beneath the force of the impact. I went flying back, hitting the ground with a thud. I pushed myself up to see the Minotaur rushing towards me.
"It's going to take a lot more than that to kill Ralph, Ministry Mayor,"
he snarled. Pain shot through my face and neck as I tried to move out of the way. Ralph struck me like a freight train, pushing me into a vicious grapple with the Minotaur. Claws raked across flesh and I howled in pain as I tried to focus on my magic. My horn flared as I slashed at the Minotaur's back with magical blade. It struck with vicious force and Ralph howled in pain into my ear. He let go for just a moment, which I took to unleash a blast of telekinesis. Ralph slid away from me, knocked back by the force of my magic. The Minotaur sneered at me through his bloody face. We both slumped to the ground, panting hard as we tried to push on towards each other slowly. We stopped a few feet away from the other. Silence filled the air.
"Had enough?"
I choked out finally. A throaty chuckle ripped through the air from the Minotaur.
"Not really,"
he said, coughing loudly. I couldn't help it. I started to laugh. This whole situation was kind of hilarious.
"I will admit it, Ministry Mayor. You are stronger than I thought you to be. You are a worthy opponent to take on pride."
"Really now?" I said. "I thought you were going to kill me."
"Oh, that is to be expected. And when you've murdered my winged sister, then I shall find you and we will finish this,"
Ralph replied as he tried to push himself up off the ground. He weakly lifted his hand, making a signal with it. Instantly, two Minotaurs in blood-red robes appeared on each side of him.
"We will meet again, Ministry Mayor. Count on it."
The cult leader disappeared just as quickly as his retainers had appeared. I groaned loudly. Pain shot through every part of my body. I tried to get up, but instead fell to the ground. I heard my friends cry out as I finally blacked out, the darkness taking me into oblivion.